Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I want to bring you a thought today. I want to challenge your theology a little bit. If you don't mind, one of my greatest joys in ministry is to push buttons. And I'm going to try and do it a little bit this morning. Just because it's fun, and I enjoy it. But I want to bring you a concept that, I mean, I know it's not new. There's nothing new under the sun, but the Lord really began to deal with me about this quite a few years ago, and I have seen it take place and seen it work in action. And maybe you already know about this, but if you don't, I want to help you out this morning. How many of you have ever desired to really do something spectacular for God? Or just really be used by the Lord for something? Or you really want to see a miracle? Anybody? Rest of y'all on cruise control or what? It's just something about it that when you see God move in a way, all of a sudden you want to see more. You just get addicted to watching the power of God move. You're worse than a crackhead. You just want to see God moving greater and greater and greater. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. We are going to Psalms chapter 19, Psalms 19, 14, and also the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And I want to bring you this thought today. What you say is what you get. What you say is what you get. Psalms 19, 14 says this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Luke 6:45 says this: a man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. I'm sorry, maybe you use King James all the time, but my tongue starts getting thick when I start doing the bringeth and the hither forth and stuff. So we'll try and get her here. Man of good treasure out of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. The New Living Translation puts that last phrase this: what you say flows from what is in your heart. And I want to talk to you just a little bit today about what you say is what you get. What you say is what you get. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time, would you? God is good. His presence is in the house. People can be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. There's healing in the house. It really is. God's good. God is good. God is so good. God bless you. You can sit down. You know, words are very, very powerful. They are very powerful. It's the main form of communication among humans. I'm sorry, all the YouTube videos of those little huskies that are saying, bye, bye, boo. That's not communication. They're just hustling you for the food that you know they know you've got in hand. They're not talking to you. They're not saying, I love you. They're saying, give me the food. Okay? One of the main causes of marital conflict is the lack of communication. It's usually number one or number two. Finances, number one, number two. Those are the two. Why is it that before you're married, it's baby, I love you? In Argentina, they call them bonbons. Me bonbon. Hola, mi bonbon. But after a while, after the marriage thing's done, why are men reduced to Neanderthal grunts? That's not a marriage class, but I've just always wondered about that. Hey, baby, you love me? Yeah. Go back to your cave. They don't call it a man cave for nothing. They just sliding back into Neanderthal land. Blessed and fortunate is the child whose parents know the power of verbal affirmation. In fact, parents, one of the most damaging things you can ever do as a parent is call your child stupid or dumb. Because you can literally define the life and mindset of that child by what you say. We have people who struggle with poor self-esteem and poor feelings because a long time ago someone told them that they were nothing, they're no good, you're worthless, you're that. And all of their life it's been that, when really buried deep in their heart is a beautiful person and a beautiful expression of life. Because words literally can define the life and mindset of a child. Words can bring peace. They have started wars. They can resolve conflict or start and amplify a conflict. That's why Proverbs 15:1 lets us know that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous or harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 18:21 says the power of death and life are in the tongue. Studies have shown that parents who constantly affirm their child will enjoy a child that achieves better grades, better social skills, and better adulthood. Now hang in here with me. I'm just giving you a good smorgasbord buffet. You can take psych or you can take, you want a happy marriage? Pour on the words of affirmation. Guys, just look at your wife and say, hey, baby. You still look all right. Now, I know we've been married 48 years, and I know I don't look like what I used to look like. Okay? But it'll get that. You want a child that can achieve? Tell them, hey, girl, you're doing good. Hey, God, I'm so proud of you. It's awesome what you did. That's the best grade. You just keep pouring it on, folks, because words are powerful. You want better service at a restaurant? Interact with that server. Tell them thank you. Tell them great. Interact. Talk with them. Folks, we have been seated at a table when other people have been standing for a half hour before just because we walked up and smiled. Hey, you're looking good today. Are you going to be our server? Well, I wasn't going to be, but I think I will be now. Just by the power of words, because words are powerful and they are impacting and incredibly influential. I am starting to believe, church, and I'm really starting to be convinced that it's no different in the realms of the spirit and in Christian living. I'm starting to believe that there's something very special that begins to happen when we first confess with our mouth and then believe in our heart. I believe things start to happen when we start declaring things by faith. There is something that happens in the realms of the spirit. Maybe we don't fully understand it, but it does happen and it does take place. Let me give you some biblical concepts on this. Elisha is in Samaria. It's a very severe famine there, is just about to end. And the prophecy goes out that the famine is just about to end. 2 Kings 7:1, Elisha said this. This is the New Living Translation. Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will only cost 1 piece of silver. Silver. 2 cents. I don't know what it cost then. 12 quarts of barley grain will only be 1 piece. It was words of power, words of prophecy, words of faith, and they're spoken by a man of God and declaring to everybody who will listen to him that it's going to be okay. But listen to what is said after that. 2 Kings 7:2. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? That's what he declared. That's what he said. The man of God had just got through saying, famine's going to be over in less than 24 hours. And this guy says, if God could make windows in heaven, could this thing be? He declared it. He spoke it. And he started a chain of events. You can read the rest of the chapter to get the story, but the condensed version is four lepers outside the camp decide, what have we got to lose? They go into the Syrian camp. God performs a miracle, making the Syrians believe the whole world's coming down on top of them, and they book out of there. The lepers come back to the city with the good news. Doors swing open. City pours out to enjoy the miracle that God provided. But the man who said it could never happen, at the gate, the people trampled him over because his own voice set into motion what was going to take place in his life. Because what you say is what you get. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, talked about him a little bit this morning. 3 years of drought and the results of what drought brings, hunger, death, natural calamity. Then there's the showdown on Mount Carmel and the fire falls and false prophets get executed. And in true Pentecostal fashion, after church is over, they ate.
Yep, that's true. Here we go. Yep.
It's a forerunner to the day of Pentecost. But look at what God or what Elijah told Ahab. 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. That's what he declared. Please note, there wasn't a cloud in the sky when he said it. It was still dusty. The dust was ankle deep. The cows were still dying in the field because of lack of water. The crops were still withering and dying. When he declared it, there were no indicators that there would be anything except continued drought. In fact, I can't, maybe it's there, but I've looked in the Bible. I can't even find where God told Elijah to say those words. He just said them. But Elijah declared it, and he prayed about it, and then he began to act upon the declaration. When he spoke to his servant and said, go look towards the sea. 7 times his assistant went there, and finally, he only acting upon the declaration of faith. Go back. Tell me what you see. Go back. Tell me what you see. Finally, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah knew that God was going to confirm the declaration of faith he had spoken. There came a rain that almost washed everybody off the mountain, because what you say is what you get. I talked about the Shunammite woman this morning, 2 Kings 4. Elijah asked, what can you do for the lady? Showed such respect for the ministry. And Gehazi mentions, there's no child. So Elijah says, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And the miracle happens. Then about 10 to 12 years later, the boy's working with his dad in the field, grabs his head. And his dad, like any good dad, takes the kid to mom. Because that's what we do. And the boy died in his mom's arm. Her promise died. But she didn't sit there and throw herself and didn't start taking Prozac and didn't start hitting the anxiety meds. She just said, get the donkey ready. Load it up with some grain. Get me some good stuff. Get me an offering. We're taking an offering to the house of God. Interesting there. And they said, it's not a holy day. Nothing special. What are you doing? And she declared, it's going to be okay. I want you to notice there's a dead child up in a bedroom, lying on a bed. Any other mother might have turned around and said, oh! She's telling everybody, it's going to be okay. 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 Declaring, 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 speaking it out, speaking it out. She goes to the prophet, Elisha goes to the house, and the boy's resurrected to life. But ladies and gentlemen, the miracle did not start when the preacher arrived. The miracle started when she started declaring what was going to happen by faith. That's when it started happening. Because what you say is what you get. You see, Ezekiel He's all bent out of shape. He's discouraged. Everything's dead. Israel's in captivity. But the Spirit of the Lord takes him to a valley where there's nothing but dry bones, scattered, depressing. It was a valley of death and despair. And God asks a question. Can these bones live again? Don't you just love it when you're feeling down, you're discouraged and everything, and somebody comes up to you with a big old smile and says, isn't God good? As a matter of fact, I hadn't thought about that today. Just love it the way God messes with your mind. You're looking over a valley of scattered bones, and they're not nice little Halloween skeletons. They're scattered. You think these bones can live again? God said, why don't you try talking to the bones? He says, prophesy to the bones. So I don't know how Ezekiel would have done. I know how what I would have done. And I would have probably looked up towards heaven about four or five times and said, you sure about this? But he did. And I don't know exactly what he said. But as he talked to those bones, they started coming together. Until before the whole thing is over, because he spoke in obedience to God's order, there stood a mighty living army of Israel. Because he spoke that into, are you listening to me, church? He spoke it into existence by speaking the word of the Lord. Because what you say is what you get. If I'm correct in this concept, and I believe I am, then I'm here to tell you something, church. I believe we can speak miracles into existence. I believe we can speak salvation into the lives of some people. I believe we can speak deliverances into some things. Where it seems like it's an impossible situation. Maybe all they're waiting on is some child of God to lift up their voice and say, by the authority of the name of Jesus and the authority and power of the word, I am declaring this. Because I'm really starting to accept the concept that when we speak in accordance to the word of God and by faith, the promises that are in the word of God, things are going to happen. Is it any wonder that the Bible tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, oral, verbal acclamation to God? I was sitting back in Pastor Hansen's office, and all of a sudden an old Jamaican song came back to me. And I'm thankful no one was there, because somebody told me I sing like a donkey that has laryngitis. I just started singing, I love the Lord and I won't take it back. I love the Lord and I won't take it back. He's been so good to me. And I was all by myself, but it felt good in that office. I think there might have been a couple of angels clapping their hands and tapping and saying, okay, we understand you can't sing, but just sound good anyway to us. It's all right. Because when we walk into the house of God with a heart that's full of thanksgiving and worship, and it's expressed with our lips, we set the atmosphere for miracles to take place. We set the atmosphere for deliverance. We set the atmosphere for blessings. We set the atmosphere for salvation to flow throughout the service. Yes, we do. We do it. Oh, we gotta wait for a special prophet to. Oh, you don't have to wait for a special prophet. Hear me. I respect him. I love him. But I know what a child of God can do by lifting up their voice when they walk in and say, my God's good. My God's good, and I won't take it back. I really believe we can speak miracles into existence. I really do. There was a young boy. He was the son of our national youth president in Argentina, Camilo Bueno. He was a little four-year-old at that time, and they were going to take a family vacation. They were eating at a pizza place, and Cami looked at his dad and said, Dad, I don't feel good. So Dad looked at him and said, well, let's stop by the emergency room, and let's just see what they say. They walked into the emergency room, and I have pictures of it. I wish I could show it to you. walked into the emergency room 30 minutes later. Camilo's on life support with the vent down his throat. His lungs, because of a bacterial infection that was spreading among children, had totally filled up with fluid, and the doctor said, you have a 1% chance to live. What would you do if the doctor said, your son's dying? Federico called me up, called up a couple of other people, and the word of the Lord came to us, and I told him, Federico, in 30 days, your son's walking out of the hospital, not known to me. Another man, another pastor in Argentina said, Federico, I want to tell you something. Your son's walking out of that hospital in 30 days. Folks, we looked at the pictures. We looked at the x-rays. The kid was dying. But 30 days later, Camilo walked out with his parents. Nurses and doctors lined the hallway, tears streaming down their face. And one doctor said, I didn't believe in miracles, but I believe in miracles now. I know what I saw. I know what it says. But folks, somebody said it and declared it, and it began to happen. My mother-in-law was a cool lady. I don't have any mother-in-law stories. The only thing I ever had against her, she tried to give me goat's milk in my cereal one day. I don't know that I've forgiven her yet, and she's been dead for a while. But her husband, my father-in-law, he was quite a guy. Hard worker, but he was a hard alcoholic too. And abused his family. Time they had to walk to church because he took the keys. And when he saw him walking to church, he took the car and tried to run him over. And it was a rough background. But my mother-in-law, every service, she was fixed up her little white puffy hair and stand up there and say, pray for Clem. God's going to save him. Next service, pray for Clem. God's going to save him. He only got wilder and wilder. Pray for Clem. God's going to save him. 50 years she prayed this prayer. 50 years she kept declaring it. 50 years she went through the abuse. And one Sunday morning, she's there puffing up her hair and getting her little old Pentecostal white hairdo up. And suddenly Clem rolls over in bed and says, Bessie, I want to go to church with you today. My mother-in-law was so cool, she looked at him and said, well, get up. You're not going in your pajamas. That man went to church, never missed it. At the age of 85, he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. Because someone kept declaring. Someone kept saying it. Someone kept declaring it's going to happen. Are you starting to get a little idea of what I'm trying to tell you this morning? Your situation's not impossible. Your mountain can move. You have authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no devil in hell that could stop you from coming to this altar and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because in this place there is authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Huh. 2016, I gotta hurry. There was an outbreak of tropical diseases in Buenos Aires where we were working in. And a mosquito that actually was responsible for three different diseases. Maybe you've heard of Zika. That was a disease that was hit in the U.S., but it also carried dengue and also carried chikungunya. It bit Sister Sponsler, and she had a severe reaction to it. Actually, 8,000 people in the city died of dengue that year, and she was lying in bed. Her hair started falling out by the handfuls. She was sick, and there were many times that I walked into the bedroom. She could not move out of bed. There were times when she didn't even respond, and I had to fill her artery because I thought she was dead. And I would call her name and say, babe, Miriam, babe, can you hear me? There was no response. And I'll tell you, it's really easy to preach this message, but it's a little different story when suddenly you're hit with it. And I'm being a little transparent, but this great, wonderful missionary who's seen kids walk up that have never walked and seen things happen, I didn't have the faith. I sat in my recliner, and I just looked up towards heaven, and I was crying like a baby, saying, God, are you going to kill my wife? Well, where's the big declaration of faith? I didn't have it. I did not have it. But the national president's wife, Sister Estela Orueta, she called us up. Hey, Brother Mike, how's Sister Miriam? I said, she's dying. That's how she is. She said, don't worry. She's going to get well. Okay, next time you check and see if she's breathing, would you? I'm tired of doing that. The next morning, hey, Brother Mike, Sister Estela, how's Sister Miriam? I said, she's not changed. Well, don't worry. She's going to be okay. She did this for 3 months that my wife was bedridden, dying in that bed. We had First National Prayer Conference I was in charge of. We had guests coming into the country, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But Sister Estela said, she's going to be at the prayer conference. She's going to be healed. Everything's going to be, and I'm looking at this body that won't even respond when I call her name, and she's dying. And Sister Estela said, she's going to be okay. I'm here to tell you, the day before the prayer conference started, Sister Sponsler opened up her eyes, looked at me, and said, I'm hungry. And this great man of faith looked at her and said, babe, take it easy. You haven't eaten hardly anything for 3 months. Maybe you just need, get out of my way. I'm hungry. I want to eat something. And she got up, walked in, prepared herself a scrambled egg, was at the prayer conference. I do not attribute that miracle to anything I did. But there was a praying woman that kept declaring against every circumstance. Every circumstance, this is how it's going to be. Not what the circumstance dictates, but what my voice in faith is declaring. Now, please don't start declaring, I'm going to have the Powerball numbers given to me in a dream and win the Powerball. Don't be dumb. Sorry. A little slip of the true character there. Please use your intelligence. Same thing. You'd most likely lose your soul. And I have declared healings and prayed for people, and they didn't get well. In fact, they died. So if I pray for you, you got a 50-50 chance. Okay? That's why we sign non-disclosure and non-responsibility agreements. You want prayer? Sign here. Sign here. We'll pray for you. I don't want to get sued. But that's not going to stop me from declaring God can heal anybody, any place, any time, anywhere. In fact, we were in a service in Phoenix, Arizona. It was a Spanish conference in the northern part of Arizona, and the Lord just was really dealing with me about the authority and power that His people have that they are not utilizing. And I got up and told the people, there is a spirit of healing in this place, but I'm not praying for anybody, and there is not one preacher that's going to pray for anybody. If you need healing or you need the Holy Ghost, raise up your hand. Several hands went up. I said, now the person sitting next to you, you lay your hands on their head, and you command by the authority and the power of the name of Jesus to receive the Holy Ghost or receive your healing. In less than 15 minutes, 9 people were miraculously healed. 6 people received the Holy Ghost, and we didn't pray for a one. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You are not a little powerless, weak, wimpy nobody. You've got the authority and power of the name of Jesus Christ beating in your soul, and it's time for you to stand and arise in the name of Jesus and begin declaring and seeing the miracles that are going to take place. There's something here. I'm bucking heads with some traditions, and I really don't care because my head's just a little bit harder than some of the things I've bucked up against. I'm telling this church something. One day, one of you are going to be walking down the street, and you're going to see a cripple there, and something's going to come over you, and you're not going to say, Pastor Hanson, what do I do now? I don't know how to do this. You're just going to look at him and say, by the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, the authority and power of the Word of God, rise up and walk, and you're going to see it. I said, you listening to me? I said, you are going to see it. Hallelujah. We're not living in a day where we need to hide. I'm not living in a day, and I say this with all great respect, but I'm just a little bit tired of waiting for the superstars to come to family camp, and we have to wait a whole year for a miracle to take place when it is in your mouth right now. It is on your lips. Jesus said it clearly in Mark 11:23. For truly I tell you, Christian Standard Bible, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up, says to this mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt, but believe that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I feel such a spirit of faith in this house. I feel like something is being birthed in the life. Maybe it's time we start declaring the salvation of some lost family members. I don't know why they won't be saved. They just come to church. We'll start declaring it. Start declaring it. My son's going to come in. My daughter's going to come in. Start declaring it. What you say is what you get. Oh, they're not being saved. Be careful. What you say is what you get. Lady in Argentina had a husband who was a great guy. Wasn't serving God. He was a great worker, but he had to walk by, and he passed the bar where all of his buddies were sitting. And when payday came, they always paid in cash because that's how they do. And paid in cash. He walked in, stopped. Well, I'm just going to have one with my buddies. Before it was all over, everything was gone. And he'd come home, no money, no groceries, no clothes for the kids. And his wife got tired of it. Be careful. When your wife says, I've had it. She one day went and got a bottle of oil on payday, and she anointed the pillow that he slept in, the sheets that he slept in, the chair that he sat into, the dinner table, the coffee cup that she used, the door that he walked through. She just anointing everything. I don't know. The poor guy laid his head and probably said, where'd all the oil come from? But he turned around and she said, Jesus, in your name, I declare my husband is going to get saved. That afternoon, this man walked through the door of the house looking kind of confused. We men can do that sometimes. And she said, well, how come you're home so early? Hey, lady, you declared it. He said, I don't know. I was just walking. I was going to stop with my buddies, but I just didn't want to. So here I am, and here's the money. Let's go get the kids some shoes. And so he still didn't know what was going on. I'll tell you what went on. A child of God began to declare, that man is in the house of God today, worshiping and praising the Lord, because, ladies and gentlemen, there is authority in your mouth. There is authority in your mouth. Why don't you start declaring healings? You see, the faith doesn't necessarily rely on the physical feeling, what you see, taste, touch, and hear. It relies on the word of God and our confidence and trust in him who cannot lie. And I'm closing with this. The musicians can come. Man, babe, 30 minutes, 2 times today. This is Book of Acts stuff. We were holding a marriage seminar. I did a lot of that. And a lady came up to me one Sunday. And it was the last day of the 3-day seminar. She walked up to me crying. And she said, I need you to pray for us. I said, well, what? She said, this morning when I got up, my son walked out, 16-year-old. He walked over to me and he said, I hate you. I hate your church. I hate your pastor. I hate your God. And I'm going to leave and live with the streets with my friends. Don't look for me. I'll never be back. That's how her Sunday started. She said, I need you to pray. And I said, I'm not going to. I said, but what you're going to do right now is you're going to pray and you're to declare, this afternoon, my son is coming home. And then you're going to thank God for it happening. She looked at me a long moment. And she didn't look happy. She was waiting for angels and ladders from heaven to earth. And I didn't do it because I was tired. But she closed her eyes and lifted up her hands and said, God, in your name I declare my son coming home. And I thank you for restoring our family and the peace and harmony that we need in our family and our marriage. Simple, but she said it. She said it. She said it. She declared it. She got through praying. I said, now look, Sunday afternoon is a very sacred moment between me and my God. It's a time when I lie before him. And I have dreams and visions while I'm taking a nap. So don't call me. You can send me a text message. We hadn't hardly gotten home because the church was a long way and the phone buzzed and there was a text message. And she said, I got home. I fixed dinner. I set his plate and silverware there and a cup with his favorite drink in it. And we had just prayed and asked the blessing over the food when there was a knock at the door. She said, I got up, went to the door. And there was my son standing there crying. And he said, Mom, I didn't mean anything I said. I don't know what's wrong with me. I love you and I love God. And I love the church. Can I come back home? She said, baby, the plate's there. The food's there. The drink's there. Come on in. Everything's ready. But the miracle started when she got her eyes off of her difficulty. And by faith and confidence and trust in the word of God, she began to declare deliverance over her children. You got a mountain that seems to be blocking your way to victory. You got a situation that seems impossible. Has the devil told you you'll never get the Holy Ghost? I'm here to tell you something. That's not God talking to you. I would like you to stand this morning. This is just different, but I feel so strongly urged in the Holy Ghost this morning. I can't provide your miracle, but you can. And it starts with you lifting up your voice and declaring to the realms of the Spirit, my miracle is going to happen. I could stand here all morning long and tell you miracle after miracle, personal miracles that have happened for Sister Sponsor and I, that we could not afford a home, but God told us, I have a plan. And we bought a brand new home for $20,000 less than market value when everything else was $50,000 and above, and God just said, here it is. I'm telling somebody today, don't be ignorant with this, but I think that you can start declaring something today. God's on the throne. Sorry, this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. This is a spiritual thing. And when you start speaking the words, God begins to take those words and begins to loose things in the realms of the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to take a huge step of faith and talk to your mountain this morning. And command it by faith to be removed. And to speak the word of faith to your situation. Oh, I've got to wait for a prophet. Folks, I'm telling you something. You do it. You do it. You do it. And after you do it and let the faith in your heart dictate the words of your mouth. And then begin to praise and worship the Lord as though it is already happening right now. And maybe you won't see it right away. Maybe there'll be a lapse of time. Maybe God will do it in an instant. But why not take the bold step of faith into the supernatural and begin to declare? It was your pastor that looked at this place when they were meeting in a home on around Sandy Boulevard in 70-something, but he said, God's going to have a church in Portland, and here you are today because somebody made a declaration. Now, would you like a miracle in your life? Or would you like to see salvation come to somebody? I want you to step out from where you're standing. Don't be content being a chair warmer. Step out from where you're standing and come up to this altar and lift up your hands and begin to declare by faith what God can do. I'm telling you, we're loosing miracles in this place today. And it's coming through you, child of God. You, saint of God, these signs shall follow them that believe.